welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Being the source and the strength. Bless this word, God, that it will go forth with power. Speak to your people, not only the ones that are here, but the ones that are listening everywhere. We're grateful for this place called Redeemer, that we can stand firm and know that had it not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? Thank you for the worship thus far. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister Tamika, for being obedient. That was an encouragement.
Amen.
To my soul.
Yes.
I normally give you the text, but the theme this morning is going to be, we are useless without the Lord. That's what was working with me. If Jesus is the center, that means we got to depend on him.
That's right. That's right.
And all I can do is just sit there and say, Lord, I see how useless I am.
Yeah.
John the Baptist said it this way. He said, "Is one that's coming after me that's preferred before me."
Yeah.
He said that even to untie his shoelaces, he said, I'm not even worthy to do that. John said, I'm useless without the Lord. And as we sit in our places, no matter where we are, sometimes we are useless without him.
Yes.
We only need him when we want him.
Yes.
But we need God each and every day. Stand on your feet. I'm going to be coming from a very familiar passage of scripture, Luke the 8th chapter. I'm only going to read 4 verses. I thank for your hearing. Starting at verse 4 down to verse 8. Luke the 8th chapter, verse 4. And it reads as follows. It says that when much people were gathered together and were talking to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns spread up with it, and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that had ears to hear, let them hear the word of the Lord. You may be seated. We are useless without the Lord. Useless, according to the dictionary, means not fulfilling, not expected to achieve the intended purpose or the desired outcome. As long as we compare ourselves to others and feel ugly in these comparisons, we will also find ourselves feeling worthless. I remember when I first purchased my first computer. Like anything else, it comes with specific instructions. The salesperson said at the store that it would be the easiest thing to set up once I get home. Just follow the instructions. And needless to say, I did, but I was unsuccessful. What the salesperson failed to tell me was that there was a software I needed to download beforehand. And a connection to the internet is required. These two things were necessary first, even before I could log on to the application. Therefore, the instructions mirror my theme this morning, that they were useless by themselves. Yeah, you can have instructions, but you need to make sure that you have everything intact. And when you think about your lives this morning, think about how God put everything intact. Because when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, everything was intact. God can only see us through the shed blood of his son, because everything is intact. And without the shed blood, you become useless without it.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes there are periods in our life where we feel useless and unappreciated. It's a feeling like we don't have anything to offer to the world. If you're honest with yourself, there have been challenges that you've been confronted with. And because you didn't have the answer, you felt like you were useless. But sometimes we have to be able to be open to hear what God is saying to us. He's already given us the answer. We just don't like what it is. He's already given us the direction that we should take, but that's just never good enough. One of the major themes in this chapter of Luke is how to get faith and use it in the everyday experiences of life. Jesus laid the foundation by teaching his disciples that faith comes through receiving the word of God into an understanding heart. See, the disciples followed Jesus, what? By faith. They did not understand everything, but they asked. The crowd did not follow by faith. Many people were in those crowds, not because they were following Jesus, but they were following each other. See, sometimes we're in the crowd, we're not following the leader, we're following because other people are in the crowd. They were there because everyone else was, and they wanted to see what Jesus would do next. They wanted to sample, but not submit. See, everybody lives by faith in something or someone. The difference between the Christian believer and the unsaved person is not that one has faith and the other does not. They both have faith. The difference is in the object of their faith. For faith is only as good as the object. Our faith is in God through a personal relationship with his son Jesus and nourished by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. See, when Jesus is the object of our faith, his word and principles define our identity, our purposes, and our action. I wonder how different things might be if Christians were as passionate about sharing their faith as we are about having other conversations. In this text before us today, Jesus is telling a story about farming and comparing it with how you and I receive or don't receive the word of God into our life. The people up to this point had by and large rejected Jesus as the Messiah. So he could not give them the mysteries of the kingdom. They would not have understood it. The conditions of a people's heart make it necessary for Christ to do what he do, and that speak this parable. They were unable to see or enter into the kingdom. There are many that hear God. word, but very few who listen. We hear it, but then we have to live it. And because they did not receive Christ, they were in danger of losing all that they did possess, their religious heritage and preparation. See, the sower in this story is Jesus. But the sower also represents any of God's people like you and me who share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what a sower does. The seed is the word of God. For like the seed, the word has life and power and can produce spiritual fruit. But the seed can do nothing until it is planted. The seed without the soil is fruitless, and the soil without the seed is useless. The human heart is like soil. If it prepared properly, it can receive the seed of the word of God and produce a fruitful harvest. Here we have in this text what I see. We have to be able to hear and receive God's word. See, the trouble with hearing is that often what we believe and feel comfortable with affects how we hear. We endeavor to interpret everything we hear in light of what we already know. See, the word hear is used, and it means much more than just listening to the word. See, hearing means listening with spiritual understanding and receptivity. When a person hears and understands the word, then the seed is planted in their heart. And what happens after that depends on the nature of the soul. What do some embrace the good news? Why do some embrace the good news and others reject it? I'm glad you asked. According to the perspective provided by Jesus in this story, this question is less about who hears the word and more about the quality of one's hearing. In other words, sometimes we do need to be like people that have a hearing aid. The reason they have a hearing aid is because they can't hear that well. What is the reason that the church can't hear and know that we are useless without him? Sometimes we need to make an adjustment to hear what God is saying in his word. We have to be strong enough. That's why Paul tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, whatever we believe must be consistent with God's word. I thought about, how am I going to make sure that you understand what I'm talking about this morning? When my daughter was a little girl, she loved to ride her tricycle. She didn't know how to pedal yet, so she would just put her feet on the pedals and her hands on the handlebars. There was a long steering handle attached to the back of the bike that I would often walk behind her and I would hold the handle. My daughter thought because she had her hands on the handlebars and her feet on the pedals, she thought that she was in control. She thought she was really controlling the pace because she had her feet and her hands in place. It appears that she was in control, but in reality, I was controlling everything. Well, I tell you that because it may look and feel like you were in control. It may look and feel that you are directing your path, but God is forever behind you, and he's controlling you everywhere you go, every step you take, every thought on your mind, every situation that you're in, because we are useless without him. We can't do nothing on our own. And unless we are willing to admit to our helplessness, we will miss out on the spiritual blessings. We have to stop being satisfied with our present level of knowledge and truth, because much of our present information is distorted by our own opinion. Everyone may hear the word, but not all will believe and be saved. Only through His Spirit can we have the power to complete His purpose. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through to where soul and spirit meet, to where joints and marrow come together. It judges the desires and the thoughts of the heart. See, Jesus now describes what I see in the text. Four different kinds of soul are four different hearts. In each case, the seed is the same, but the soil into it which the seed falls is what makes it different. In this story, four different responses are given, along with four different causes and having four different distinct results. The first thing that I see in the text, he says, and a sower went out to sow the seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Well, the fowls of the air were symbolic of what they call Satan. Because when we leave the church, sometimes we can be excited about what we heard. But as soon as we get outside, the enemy knows where you've been. That's why the enemy is prepared to meet you. The first soul mentioned here is hard soul. This soul represents the person who hears the word but immediately allows the devil to snatch the seed away. How did the heart be hardened? I'm glad you asked. The Bible says the wayside was the path that ran through the common field, and the foot traffic would harden the soul. In other words, if everybody is walking along the same path, they are trodding down the soul. So the seed couldn't take root. The seed couldn't grow because of the foot traffic. These people are the unbelievers who hear and have closed minds. They are unteachable. They are unreceptive. The words just bounce off for them. Their hearts are not even open to God. And whatever goes into your ear or into your eye is your heart. So we have to be careful who we allow to walk on our heart. We have to be careful of what we let our eyes see. We have to be careful of what we let our ears hear. Because whatever goes into your eyes and your ears eventually goes into your heart. That's why God looks at the heart. God don't look at on that outside stuff. We look at that. We the ones that are making ourselves up, getting haircuts, going to the beauty salon, getting our nails done, getting our beards trimmed. For who? God looks at your heart. He don't care what's on the outside. He only cares what's on the inside. Because what's on the inside tells God of who you really are. The second psalm in our text, it says the psalm fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. The second psalm is what is called shallow soil. This psalm illustrates the emotional hearer who quickly responds to the message, but their interest dies out and they do not continue. These people hear the message with great joy and excitement, but there it ends. They seem happy to hear about Jesus, but it does not sink into their hearts. How many people you know like that? They come to church Sunday after Sunday. They're excited about what they hear. They leave on a praise, happy note. But as soon as they get their foot out of the door, then you really see who they really are. They express great enthusiasm, yet no heart behind it. Remember that there were great crowds who followed Jesus. However, only a few were his true disciples. See, when these people face pressure or find themselves in difficult situations, they quickly forget about what God has already said in his word. That's why we have to be careful of the people that we select to be a part of our inner circle, because whatever they say and however they behave, it impacts you down the road, because you're the one that selected them. And obviously, you selected them because they were people that were just like you. Here it is, the third type of soil. The text says that some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. This soil is called crowd soil. This soil illustrates the person who does not repent and weed out the things that hinder the harvest. See, there's enough soil for the roots to go down, but not enough room for the plant to grow up and produce fruit. The plant is crowded out and the fruit is choked. And as a result, the plant does not grow to full maturity. Some people hear God's words, start to grow, start to bear fruit, and then they get distracted from God and become concerned about the everyday cares of life. Cares and riches and the pleasures of this life, that is like weeds in the garden. They take up all of our time. They take up all of your energy. They take up all of your focus. They take up everything you got. That's a weed. You can't see it as a weed. All you see is being busy. Sometimes we can be busy doing the wrong stuff because we're not allowing the indwelling of the Spirit to lead and guide us, because that's when we know that we're useless, because we can't solve every problem. We can't solve every situation. Only God can help us, because in our uselessness, we are nothing without it. The text goes on and says, and others fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit 100-fold. This is the good soil. It illustrates the individual who hears the word, understands the word, receives it, and is truly saved, and proves it by patiently producing fruit. How many know that we are in the fruit business? God is using us as his example for the world to see. Not everybody produces the same amount of fruit, but all true believers will produce some fruit as evident of the spiritual life. See, true growth takes time. We need to hear the word. We need to retain the word. We need to persevere in the word. We need to produce a crop worthy of the harvest. We are responsible to keep the soil in good condition. See, faith is not a matter of IQ or education. It's a matter of humbly preparing the heart to receive God's truth. See, sooner or later, every believer discovers that the Christian life is a battleground, not a playground, and that we face an enemy who is much stronger than we are apart from God. Seeking God's truth takes energy and focus. It takes a willingness to challenge and also change. And while the way of God's truth is not the most convenient or fun path for us to take, we can be assured that it's the best one for us. I'm done, but I gotta tell you one more story. This story is about the squash seeds and others. There was once a farmer who went to town to purchase seed for his farm. And as he was returning home, one of the squash seeds he had purchased fell out of his pocket onto the ground. It fell within a few feet of another seed of a different type. The place where the two seeds lay, it was very fertile ground. And miraculously, they both took root. After about a week, the squash seed showed signs of growth. The second seed showed none. After 2 weeks, the squash seed began to sprout its leaves. The second seed showed none. After 7 weeks, the squash seed began to show fruit. The second seed still showed no progress. The squash plant reached the end of its life, bearing much fruit in time, but the other seed finally began to slowly grow. Many years later, the squash seed was all but forgotten, but the other tiny seed, an acorn, had grown into a mighty oak tree. See, many people want their faith to be like the squash. They want to fully develop in a matter of weeks. They want to fully develop in a matter of months. They want to fully develop quickly. But God wants the strength of something that will last for eternity.
Yeah.
That's why he sent his son into the world. Because he knows that his son will last for eternity. And we can lean and depend on him.
Yeah.
See, we can endure expectantly with the joy of knowing God will never let us down. We can keep hoping even when the nevers of life bombard us, realizing that the Lord is the one we need. And he perfectly cares for all our concerns. See, we are useless without him. That's why he tells us in his word. He says, "Lo, I'm with you always." And as believer, we serve an always God. Meaning that God is always with you. Meaning that God will always love you. Meaning that God will always forgive your sin. Meaning that God will always listen to you. Meaning that God will always comfort you. Meaning that God will always provide for you. Meaning that God will always remember you. He will always work on your behalf. He will always lead you and love you and give you power and wisdom. He will always come through. He will always answer your prayer because we are useless without him. That's the word of the Lord. Stand on your feet. There may be somebody listening on the phone that's talking to themselves now. They say, "Well, I do a lot of good things in the community. I give a lot of good stuff away for free. But I don't go to church like I should do. Does that mean I'm useless?" Well, I'll just tell you this. If God ain't in it, and if we're doing it to get applauded, that's uselessness. It looks good for the world, but God don't care about that. He cares about your heart. Because if your heart is right, then your mind is in the right place. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, meaning that you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. He said, salvation is yours. He said, just to show you I don't have no respect of person, he said, whosoever will, let him come. No matter where you are, even if you're home in your bedroom right now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, touch that device in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus on you right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that God will reveal to you, the scales will fall off your eyes, that you would know that you can't do nothing by yourself. Only what you do for Christ is going to last. You may be in a backslidden condition. I know you found the mall, the barbershop, the beauty salon. But have you found Jesus? Is there one that want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? The Bible says he's the prophet, he's the priest, and he's king. As the choir sings, is there one?
To the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you.
Is there one?
Yes, it's all.